God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This is Brother Hutchings inviting the listeners to another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. And here now is Brother Jerry.
Thanks, Brother Hutchings. Again today, Brother Hutchings and Dr. Larry Spargimino will be examining the question, is the United States in prophecy? Today they turn to the Old Testament for possible answers. The five programs in the series this week are based on Brother Hutchings' book, U.S. in Prophecy, which has recently been reprinted. You'll be given an opportunity to get a copy of it as well as a video on the subject. We'll tell you how to get them later, so stay tuned. Brother Hutchings, just how important are the prophecies of the Old Testament?
Thank you, Brother Jerry. Many of the prophecies had to be fulfilled, else things happening today could not have happened or would be happening. For example, the two witnesses of Revelation will be killed, and it says all the world will see them lying in the street. Of course, when John received this vision, there was no television or no way that could possibly have ever happened. But now then, it could be shown on television around the world, and the whole world could see their bodies lying in the street. The United States certainly could be mentioned in the prophetic word. On the last program, we looked at Daniel chapter 7. There we saw evidence that the United States could possibly have a reference in that particular prophecy. And today we are going to look at Isaiah 13 and see if we can find any evidence of the United States being referenced in this particular chapter of the Bible. Of course, Isaiah was given prophecies concerning the nations of the world in his day, but also he was given prophetic insight into what would happen to these nations in the future, and possibly some nations in the world that weren't even in existence in his day. I would remind everyone that we now have a new printing of my book, U.S. in Prophecy. It just came off the press this last month. And Brother Jerry will tell you later in the program today and at the end of the program how you can get a copy of this book. Brother Larry, would you begin by reading the first six verses of the 13th chapter of Isaiah?
Yes, Dr. Hutchings, thank you. The burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amoz did see. Lift ye up a banner upon the high mountain. Exalt the voice unto them, shake the hand, that they may go into the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my sanctified ones. I have also called my mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. The noise of a multitude in the mountains like as of a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts mustereth the host of the battle. They come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty.
We note here that this is about Babylon, the Babylon that is on the Euphrates River. Of course, in Revelation, we read about Mystery Babylon, but this is the Babylon that is in Iraq today, what remains of it. After Isaiah's time, of course, Babylon became a great city, and then it declined. But Babylon was in existence in Isaiah's time, I believe, Dr. Spargimino, probably not as big a city as it became under Nebuchadnezzar.
Well, Nebuchadnezzar was a great builder. He had great designs. In fact, in Daniel he says, is this not the great Babylon that I have builded? So that would be certainly supportive of the fact that he added to and made it a great, great city.
It was built, I think most biblical authorities believe, on the location of the old Tower of Babel, or City of Babel.
Yes, in the area that the Bible calls the Plain of Shinar, which is now in the area of northern Iraq.
But we read here what Isaiah has to say in verse 2, "Lift ye up a banner upon the high mountain, exalt the voice unto them, shake the hand, that they may go into the gates of the nobles." Then we read in verse 3, "I have commanded my sanctified ones, I have also called my mighty ones for my anger, even them that rejoice in mine highness." There is a reference here to higher angelic authority, I believe, because in Daniel we read about the mighty ones, the watchers, and then we get into Revelation, we read about the 24 elders. And all through the book of Revelation, we see the four watchers, or the four angels that watch over the creation, that God has delegated this authority, and also what appears to be a heavenly senate of 24 elders. This could be the ones that are referred to later in the book of Daniel, and also the book of Revelation. Dr. Spurgeon, maybe we have to remember that God's kingdom is a literal kingdom. And to have a kingdom, you have to have a king, you have to have territories, and you have to have subjects, and you have government. So the governance of God covers the universe. And we don't know about all the inner workings of the kingdom of God, but in a few places in Scripture, I think the curtains are parted enough to let us see what goes on in the heavens, in the angelic orders. Evidently, God here has something against Babylon, even in Isaiah's time, even before it became a city.
Brother Hutchings, there are probably lots of folks that want the book, U.S. in Prophecy, so let me quickly give the information on how to get it. You can call us at 1-800-652-1144. Write to Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008, or visit our website at swrc.com. The 240-page book is offered for a gift of $15. That's also the gift amount for the DVD or VHS entitled The United States in Prophecy. Better yet, get the book and the video presentation by Brother Hutchings at the same time in appreciation of your $25 contribution. The video is about an hour in length. Call, write, or visit the website for the interesting book and video. Here again is Brother Hutchings.
We go on to verse 4. "The noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as of a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts mustereth the host of the battle. They came from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord, and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land." Now, we know that Babylon did become a great city under Nebuchadnezzar, and on in about 538, perhaps 39 B.C., Babylon had conquered all the land from India over to Egypt, and its armies were out in the provinces. And the Medes and the Persians, which today would be Iran and Afghanistan, the people of those countries, got together and simply came in and overnight took over Babylon. We read about that in Daniel, the fifth chapter, when Belshazzar was filling in for the king, who was probably out in the field or out commanding the armies. But there were not armies coming from all over the world at that time in, say, 538 or 539 B.C. These were next-door neighbors who come in and took over Babylon. Isaiah here is not referencing the fall of Babylon, when Daniel was in Babylon, or the Israel was in captivity under Babylon.
Yeah, when Daniel was in Babylon, even though the Medes and the Persians had come toward the end of his life, Babylon had fallen, but he was still in Babylon. In other words, Babylon had not been destroyed as Sodom and Gomorrah, as the prophecy says. So obviously, there is a distant fulfillment that is being spoken of. And I think, Dr. Hutchings, you know, in verse 1, it says, the burden which Isaiah did see. So this is certainly prophetic language. He is transported into the future. All of this is something, it's like Isaiah was right there at that moment. So he's looking back in time and prophesying to us today of what will be in the end times.
And we read here, there is an alliance of nations coming from a far country, even from the end of heaven, to destroy the whole land. So certainly this was not the fall of Babylon to the Medes and Persians, which happened in one night. And even the people of Babylon did not know the city had even fallen for several days. It was a big city. And we read here that this army comes with a big noise, and noise of a multitude in the mountains, a tumultuous noise. Now, we remember, I believe it was in 1991, when President Bush, that's the first President Bush, decided to raise an army to push the army of Iraq, which it's the same territory that old Babylon was, out of Kuwait. He raised an alliance of something like 40 nations. And there were military representatives there in that army from all these nations. Of course, some of them didn't contribute much. But these were countries that came from afar. And we read here, they come from a far country, from the end of heaven, with a tumultuous noise. We remember in 1990, the jets taking off, and all the noise, and the bombs, and the missiles. It was a tumultuous noise. They bombed Baghdad and the airports, and it was a big tumultuous noise. As far as I can remember, nothing like that had ever happened in that particular location or in Babylon up to that time. So it seems evident that Isaiah is looking forward to possibly and probably the invasion of something like armies from 40 countries coming from around the world to destroy Babylon. We read here, they come to destroy Babylon. It doesn't say that they destroyed Babylon. It just says they come to destroy Babylon. And it says here, howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. It doesn't say it's in the day of the Lord. It says the day of the Lord is near. So I think the first assault on Iraq, led by the first President Bush, is mentioned here in Isaiah 13, because they did not destroy Babylon. Now, if I remember correctly, they had a fairly easy time, the alliance there, of pushing the army of Saddam Hussein out of Kuwait. And they had an open way to Baghdad. They could have gone on and taken the whole country with little effort. But something happened. And they didn't. They stopped. And they withdrew. And Saddam Hussein was able to continue as the head of the government at that time. But we have here the warning that the day of the Lord would be near. Do you have any further explanation of that?
Well, I think that's really a picture of what we see in Isaiah chapter 13, because I remember all of the Iraqi soldiers surrendering, and there have been various explanations being given, but many were incarcerated. And Dr. Hutchings, it's very interesting, in verse 12, it says, "I will make a man more precious than fine gold." That seems to indicate the incarceration, perhaps, of large numbers of troops and soldiers. So I think what we see here is we're not quite in the tribulation, but we're certainly preparing for it. And God is the one who is bringing all of this to pass because of the great evil of Babylon.
And we read in verse 9, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel but with both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners out of it." Now in verse 9, we're looking at a world judgment. We're looking at the tribulation. The first verses here apply only to Babylon. But we get into verse 9, where the prophet warns about the coming tribulation. And what happened in the first six verses is a sign that this day would be near. So I think the first war against Iraq, which was led by our first President Bush, is clearly defined or forecast or prophesied here in the first six verses. An additional warning about the coming day of the Lord follows that. We wonder how many of our people here in the United States or even the churches even notice this.
Well, so many churches today have said that prophecy is either irrelevant or it's too difficult for us to understand, or many of them have gone the way of preterism and they've said that all of this has already taken place, which is really hard to believe because there are too many things that are said in Isaiah 13 that affect the universe and are of such a great magnitude and such a large scale that nothing of that sort has yet happened in its fullness. So these are certainly signs that there is more prophecy to be fulfilled.
We go on into chapter 13, where we read, "Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them, which shall not regard silver, and as for gold, they shall not delight in it." Of course, we look at the Medes, and which also includes part of Iran, and said they would stir up the Medes. Of course, there was the Iran-Iraqi War of 1982. Of course, the Medes, that is Afghanistan, certainly, they were stirred up and are still stirred up. We read over here that in the day of the Lord, and Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of Chaldees' excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Now that has not happened yet, but it will happen in the day of the Lord. You know, as we look at Babylon today, I was there in 1978. It was pretty much restored at that time. Saddam Hussein had rebuilt a lot of the temples, Nebuchadnezzar's palace, the old racetracks there. The hanging gardens were being restored. It was a great project. In 1987, you know, Saddam Hussein announced to the world that Babylon had been rebuilt. And they threw a month's party, and much on the order that Belshazzar threw in chapter 5 of the book of Daniel. That was the traditional Babylonian affair, worshiping and giving thanks to their gods, so forth and so on. I have the story that appeared in the Los Angeles Times at that particular affair. Madonna was invited to come to Babylon and be the queen of the ball, the party. And it was reported in the paper that Saddam Hussein and his man who was in charge of the affair announced that Madonna lives in the heart of the Iraqi people. Now, why would a sleazy rock star here in the United States live in the hearts of the Iraqi people. Well, Madonna's name from Chaldean, according to, I believe, Dr. Oates in one of his books about Babylon, brings out that Madonna in Chaldean means the same as the name of Semiramis, who was Nimrod's queen. She had a son named Tammuz that the Hebrew women would worship. We read about that in the book of Ezekiel. She had this son after Nimrod had died, but she was worshipped by the Chaldeans and the people of Babylon. So Madonna has the same name as evidently Nimrod's queen, so that's why she was asked to come to Babylon in 1987 and be the queen of the ball. I have that story in my book, U.S. in Prophecy. Of course, Madonna is still around, and Babylon has suffered some problems during this present war, this latest war. Now, this war by a president today, the present Bush, is the same war that began in 1990. It's the same war. Again, we read the warning that when this happens, the day of the Lord is near, and it shall come from the Almighty as a day of desolation and terror. But I have an article here about Babylon. It's from the New York Times, and it tells about here that even though the U.S. Army has tore part of it down to build pads for the helicopters, and others have tore the parts of the building down, that the United Nations now says it's going to rebuild Babylon. You can get a copy of my book, U.S. in Prophecy, and we also have a DVD and a VHS video of a presentation I did on this same subject. And here now is Brother Jerry to give you the number to call or the address to write.
Thanks, Brother Hutchings. The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. If you prefer to write, the mailing address is Southwest Radio Ministries, Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. A third way to get today's gift offers is the Internet. The web address is swrc.com. The 240-page book, U.S. in Prophecy, is offered for a gift of $15. In addition to Brother Hutchings' portion, it contains S. Frank Logsdon's Is the USA in Prophecy, a video which is available on either VHS or DVD, a presentation by Brother Hutchings, is also available for a $15 contribution. It's entitled United States in Prophecy. If you want the book and the video at the same time, the gift amount is $25. When this series is completed on Friday, there will have been 5 programs, and you can get all of them on CD or cassette tape for an offering of $18. Again, to get any or all these resources, call us at 1-800-652-1144. Write to Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008, or visit our website at swrc.com. Next February, Southwest Radio is sponsoring a tour to Egypt and the Nile. It's scheduled for February 14th through the 24th. Even though that seems a long ways off, it's not too early to get your deposit in to reserve a seat for what promises to be one of the most exciting tours you'll ever make. So give us a call at 800-652-1144 to get a brochure. Stay tuned for a question and answer over most of these stations, and join Brother Hutchings and Brother Larry tomorrow for another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. It's time for Southwest Radio Ministries Question and Answer. Answering today's question is Dr. Larry Spargimino. This is the first in a 3-part question and answer entitled, The Near-Death Experience, A Way to Meet God? Brother Larry, a recent poll indicates that millions of Americans claim to have had a near-death experience. I remember hearing one account of a person who had allegedly died in an automobile accident. He remembers being disassociated from his body and viewing the whole scene where the ambulance, police cars, and traffic tie up from above. He experienced going through a tunnel and seeing a bright light at the end of the tunnel. What precisely is the near-death experience, and what should we, as Bible-believing Christians living in the last days, think of the near-death experience?
The Near-Death Experience Research Foundation website defines the near-death experience as, and I'm quoting it, a lucid experience associated with perceived consciousness apart from the body, occurring at the time of actual or threatened imminent death. While no two near-death experiences are identical, there seem to be several items of experience that generally can be found in all of the accounts of those who have had a near-death experience. First of all, the person has a sense of being separated from his or her body. Some even see their bodies from a distance and feel that the self is hovering overhead. Some, as you mentioned, Jerry, claim to have viewed the auto accident in which they have allegedly died from above, or that they had a sense of hovering over the operating table and seeing the surgeons operating on them during a crisis operation. Secondly, the individual has a sense of passing through a long dark tunnel and seeing a bright light at the far end of the tunnel. Some have had a sense of, quote, Jesus at the end of the tunnel, the sight of which has filled them with a sense of loving acceptance and peace with God. Thirdly, they relate that they have visited beautiful locations such as gardens and parks. Some have even claimed to have smelled flowers and heard the delightful music of birds. Fourthly, the individual often relates that they have a sense of reaching a boundary, such as a gate, a cliff, or broad waterway. They cannot cross this boundary if they want to return to their bodies. In other words, that's the point of no return. Fifthly, the individual often experiences a decision to return to their bodies. Sometimes the decision is voluntary. They make the decision to return after discussing the matter with angelic beings who remind them of their unfinished responsibilities and life obligations. If the decision is involuntary and forced on them, the subject often experiences great feelings of sadness and loss at leaving such a beautiful location with its warmth and overwhelming sense of love. When returning to the body, as they explain it, the subjects often relate that there have been radical changes in their attitudes and beliefs. Some come to express an intense belief in the existence of God, if you will, while others express regret over their lack of compassion for people and resolve to maintain more loving relationships in the future.
Thank you, Brother Larry. We'll want to continue this discussion on our next question and answer segment. In the meantime, if you'd like a copy of the magazine in which these Q&As are printed, call or write us. Include a gift of $3 to cover shipping and handling. The number to call, 800-652-1144. Write to Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. Join us for the next Watchman on the Wall program and a continuation of this question and answer.